Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever wondered to yourself why we pray for the president so often? Whether it was a guy that you couldn't stand, or whether it was a guy that you were fully supportive of, sometimes people ask that question. How can we be praying for that man? And your opinion of him might differ, but the fact is that God calls us to pray for him. God calls us to pray for the men that he puts into those positions of authority, into those positions of leadership, whether we fully agree with him or not. We see this as St. Paul writes to Timothy and then to his churches through this. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. We pray for our governor. We pray for our legislature. We pray also for our local magistrates, for our village administrator and president, for our town chairman, for the people that make up those boards, and for the boards of the communities with which each of you may live. We pray for all of them, whether we agree with everything they do or not, because our prayer is, Lord, thy will be done. Our prayer is that they would acknowledge that their authority means nothing unless it comes from God. Jesus said those very words to Pilate. You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Pilate, the magistrate that oversaw Jesus' crucifixion for sinners like us, a man who struggled to see what truth is, a man that the church contemplated about whether or not he converted after seeing the death and resurrection of Jesus. But we pray for our magistrates. We pray because God has placed them. Sometimes it's for our punishment. When we go too far astray, God will raise up godless men to punish us. He will raise up heathen countries to punish his people, but always with the intent to draw his people back to him. But our prayer is that they would see the will of God, that they would acknowledge that they too are a man under authority, and that authority is from the supreme judge, the supreme king. We pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is our prayer as Christians. A society that knows Jesus is a well-ordered society. A society that rejects Jesus is in disorder and chaos. Maybe you've noticed that in your own life. Those of you who are older might remember a time when this society was almost lockstep with what the Bible taught. Still some confusion about this Judeo-Christian as opposed to the real thing that is Christian. And still some confusion about some of those aspects, but understanding that Sunday was a day for God and your family. We've watched that unravel as we have rejected him in our very fabrics of our society, in the makeup of who we are as a people. And God sends to draw us back to him. God desires that all would be saved. This is his desire for his people. He created each and every person, and it's a person that Jesus died for. God loves the sinner stuck in his sin. God loves the sinner who acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord, that has faith because the Holy Spirit has worked that faith in him, that cries out for his mercy. God loves the one that has so rejected him that he cries out that there is no God. And Jesus died for every single one of them. God destines to salvation. And so logically, And some Christians do take it that far. Sometimes people say that means that he must choose those to be damned. But we don't take that approach. Yes, it may make more logical sense, but when the Bible teaches something, even if it's illogical to us as fallen people, we simply confess it. God desires all to be saved. And the fact is, none of us should go to heaven. Not a single one of us, because all of us have sinned against him. All of us fall short of God's glory. All of us deserve the wages of sin, which is death. But thanks be to God, any of us get to be saved. That's his love for his creation. And while we might try to pin God and pin him down in our own little boxes, our fallen human reason cannot fully comprehend his divine majesty, his sovereignty. And so we trust the man, Christ Jesus, is the mediator because he is God and yet man. He is the one, he is the linchpin that holds the whole creation together, that saves it. The importance here is that while God does love the person stuck in his sin and the person who acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he loves them equally, God's desire is not that we should stay stuck in that sin. When we read Mark 2, we see that the Pharisees, the scribes, complain about Jesus. Jesus had called Levi, also known as Matthew, a man that would go on to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, not just as an apostle, but also as an evangelist, as a writer of a gospel, according to Matthew. He called him out of his life of sin. He called him away from the greediness of money, instead to follow him. And Levi, after hearing the call of Jesus, "Follow me," leaves his life behind, and does just that. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. The people that were around him were people that were also stuck in their sins, also stuck in the greediness of tax collection. Not that it's immoral to collect taxes. We know that Jesus says that we should pay taxes. But skimming off the top, trying to keep for ourselves, especially when we know that somebody else is in need. And so Jesus goes to his house, and he eats with him. He eats with him and his friends. He does not desire that they stay stuck in their sin. Too often people will use this example of Jesus eating with sinners as a reason that we as the church should simply embrace whatever sin someone's stuck in. That we should simply commune everybody because we're all sinners. This table fellowship, the aspect of sitting down to meet with someone who is either learning about Jesus, is confused, is stuck in his sin, to show him a better way, this is a good thing. There's a difference between table fellowship and prayer and worship and altar fellowship. There is a distinction here. We may sit down to eat and to point them to the better way as Jesus did. But he has come just as he said in our gospel lesson. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And what's the words? To repentance. This should draw your minds to Jesus with the woman caught in adultery in John 8. As this woman is caught in the very act of adultery, and I don't know exactly how that happens, but she's caught, she's brought out, and they pick up stones to put her to death, as the law declared. Jesus is there, and just as he did in a couple weeks ago, reminds us that we are to look at our own sins first, to confess our own sins, to cry out for his grace and mercy, so that we can better see the way to help others. And so he says the words that so many people know, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone." Now, our godless world, those who reject that Jesus Christ is actually the Savior, stop there. But Jesus didn't. So after they all drop their stones and walk away, Jesus then speaks to the woman. When Jesus had lifted himself up and saw that none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He does not leave her stuck in her sin, something that very clearly does break the law. What he gives her is the gospel. He points her to the better way. If she were to stay stuck in her adultery, if that is the way she chose to live, she would go to hell for eternity. But he gives her the better way. He points her to the cross that is coming for him. Repent. Go and sin no more. Jesus died for that woman. Jesus died for those Pharisees that had picked up stones to kill her. Jesus died for those who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he cried for the women weeping at the foot of the cross. He died for you and for me. Thanks be to God. This is the better way. The church sings, "Come follow me," the Savior spake, "all in my way abiding. Deny yourselves, the world forsake, obey my call and guiding. O bear the cross, whate'er betide, take my example for your guide." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.